You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
My first experience with hyperbaric medicine was back in the late 90s after I had a dental implant put in my lower right jawbone, but I had difficulty healing from it, so my doctor recommended hyperbaric treatments. Now, since then, there have been a great deal of improvement in the technology and science behind hyperbaric oxygen therapy, HBOT for short. Today on Wellness for Life Radio, we have Dr. Scott Scher, who is a HBOT expert, and he's one of the few medical doctors in the U.S. using an integrative approach combining targeted lab work, diet, nutritional supplementation with hyperbaric oxygen treatment to maximize healing and optimize performance. Great to have you here, Dr. Scher.
It's so great to be with you, Suzanne. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Great. Awesome. So I'd like to do is ask a little bit about how you actually got into integrative medicine, because you're a medical doctor, I believe, but you shift over, right, to integrative health?
I did. So, yeah. Like, you're a holistic physician coming from the chiropractic angle. My father is a chiropractor as well. And I really believe in chiropractic. And I also believe that chiropractors were really the first functional medicine doctors before that was cool, before that was even hip. So
love that.
I grew up in that mind space, always knowing that I wanted to find a way to kind of combine the alternative world that I grew up with the more allopathic, conventional medical establishment, as they say, together. And I found that hyperbaric therapy was a really good way to do that, because there are some FDA-approved indications for hyperbaric therapy. However, it really is just oxygen at higher pressures and higher concentrations. And as a result of that, the ability to treat a number of conditions, especially synergistically with other types of treatments, is actually quite profound. And so as I became more involved in the hyperbaric community, and I understood a lot more about what patients were facing, and initially it started with things as simple as somebody coming in with a diabetic foot ulcer, but also their RSD, or their reflex sympathetic dystrophy, got better. Or they came in because they've had a radiation injury from cancer, but all of a sudden their stroke symptoms were improving. And something in my brain just kind of went off and went, wow. This is just oxygen, Suzanne, and it's having these gigantic benefits for these patients. And so that's how I really figured out I had this perfect combo, integrative therapy, hyperbaric therapy. And that's how I decided to kind of fully focus in that.
Was it your own experience of hyperbaric oxygen therapy first that got you to think, oh gosh, this is something very powerful? Or did you see it in a patient?
Sure. So I saw it pretty dramatically in a patient when I was working at a hospital. It was with the flesh-eating bacteria bug, which is pretty nasty. And I think we've all seen pictures of that in various newspapers over the years. And the hyperbaric environment is extremely healing for any number of capacities, but especially and dramatically in that particular infection. So I saw it very conventionally in that respect. And then several years later, as I started delving into it more, I saw it in patients with traumatic brain injury. I had a couple of young kids that were almost suicidal, that 2 months after hyperbaric treatment was completed, they were back in school getting good grades. And I was just blown away by the capacity of this particular therapy to heal. And from there, I decided, well, if it can heal and it's an accelerated wound healing mechanism, it probably can optimize performance too, looking at the basic physiology of it. And so my life in the hyperbaric world kind of spiraled into the performance space, not only the condition-based management, and also in the infection world as well, and a lot of the chronic infections that we're seeing these days.
Let's go back a little bit, because hyperbaric treatment, often people think of those chambers. And it's only because... Yeah. People think about, okay, if you go scuba diving and you're down there too long or you come up too fast, they've got to put you in this chamber. Let's talk about the medical hyperbaric, just so that the audience gets an idea of what it really looks like and what is it?
Sure. So hyperbaric therapy was invented, or at least the medicalization of it was, it's been around actually, that the ability to pressurize air since the 1600s. I mean, it was as simple as somebody finding and creating a steel box that no air could go in or out unless you push it in or sucked it out. And for the first 100 or so years, nobody really had any science behind it, but they used to either put air into a chamber or suck it out, and had different medical indications for that. Really what we've been able to do over the last 100 years or so is figure out what exactly happens when you pressurize an environment, or you take pressure out of it, or hypobaric, or less pressure, hyperbaric, H-Y-P-E-R, for more pressure. And really what's happening is that when you have a hyperbaric environment, you're increasing the amount of pressure in the environment around an individual. And that pressure is manifested in how somebody takes their regular breath, just breathing normally, taking a deep breath. And when you're breathing under pressure, that changes how your body's physiology works. So if you have a higher amount of oxygen in the pressurized air that you're breathing, more of that oxygen is going to get into circulation. And that oxygen then exerts an effect on your entire physiology, changing how your body functions, and really just optimizes that physiology. And so the way it works is that somebody will go into a hyperbaric chamber. It starts off what we would say is sea level. So most of us are at 0 feet of seawater starting out, unless you live in Colorado or in the Andes Mountains or something. But for the most part, it's about 0 feet of seawater. And then we pressurize the tank, or the chamber, which is a translucent chamber. It's mostly something that you can see out of it. It usually is made of a hard material, although there are soft chambers as well, which we can get into if you'd like later. But in any respect, you go into the chamber and it's pressurized. And it's pressurized with air, but it's actually simulating the pressure that you'd have if you were underwater. Now, most of us understand that water is very heavy, because if you pick up a bucket of water, it's very heavy to pick up. But being in a pool and swimming, you don't feel that pressure because you are weightless in the water. So in the chamber, you don't feel like you're underwater, but we're simulating that pressure. And by doing that and combining more oxygen in the environment that you breathe, we're driving oxygen to super physiologic levels, or to super saturating levels, more so than you can do in any other environment. And that's happening not because we're saturating the red blood cells, because the red blood cells are, for the most part, doing well on their own, just going through the lungs, as long as you don't have lung disease, but actually saturating the plasma, or the liquid of the blood, which has very little oxygen at baseline, but we can do dramatic things to that oxygen level in a hyperbaric environment.
When you go into a hyperbaric environment and the pressure is improving, increasing that oxygenation, are you saying also that the size of those molecules of the oxygen is tighter, smaller, so that it can go into the cells more readily?
So it doesn't change the size of the oxygen molecule. However, it does diffuse the oxygen molecule in liquid. So it's not attached to the red blood cell. And I guess as a result of that, your comment is actually correct. It's smaller in the sense that it can diffuse further into tissues because it's not bound by anything. So the diffusion ratios into tissue are much easier for the oxygen to diffuse through. And as a result of that, oxygen diffuses into tissue at a much greater level, at a much further rate, or it's actually in microns, but about four times further into tissue it can diffuse in as a result of it being not actually bound to the red blood cell.
So, I wanted to talk to you then about, okay, we're getting more hyperperfusion of the oxygen through the tissues into other areas. Now, there is a school of thought, and I don't want to confuse things here, but too much oxygen can be a bad thing, could it not?
Sure, that's a really good point to bring up, Suzanne, because oxygen does have, I mean, what does oxygen do? Why do we need oxygen? I think that's the first question, right? The first question to answer is relatively simple. I think most of us know that we need oxygen to breathe, but that's not for ourselves, for our lungs exactly. It's actually for our cells. Our cells use oxygen to make energy by making something called ATP. in that process, oxygen does have some, you don't want to call it garbage, but it has oxidative disposal. So oxidative stress or reactive oxygen species do happen when we do produce ATP. And those can be damaging, but we also need them. It's about the balance of how much oxidation you have versus how much reduction, or basically the balance between oxidative stress and non-oxidative stress. But the great thing about our body, it has this beautiful ability, actually even under hyperbaric conditions, and we've studied this, to actually produce our natural, our body's natural antioxidants to protect our normal cells. And so we do have to worry about oxidative stress, but with the other thing about hyperbaric therapy is it's also an intermittent exposure. So you're usually in the chamber for about an hour or an hour and a half at a time. And as long as you're not under a continuous hyperbaric environment, it's not usually a problem at all, in fact. So it's Got something it. That we do consider, especially at higher pressure oxygen, so at deeper levels of pressure. And in those patients, it's very important that we talk about antioxidants. We talk about dietary interventions that may help with protecting the normal cell, for sure. But it's yes. definitely something that we think about.
Thank you for explaining. That's called the oxygen paradox. That you know, even with oxygen, we've got to be careful of excess amounts and how it can have an oxidative stress. But as you're talking about with antioxidants, you use supplementation with your HBOT therapy.
Right. It definitely depends on the indication, but for the most part, most people will benefit from some antioxidant support while they're undergoing hyperbaric therapy. Now, the only segment of the patient population that I don't use antioxidants for regularly is patients with cancer. So there are some patients getting hyperbaric therapy as a synergy treatment with their own, whatever treatment they've decided is what they're going to pursue. And in those patients, I do worry about giving too much antioxidant support because typically hyperbaric therapy is working in cancer to help with oxidative stress on the cancer cells themselves. So we don't want to give any more antioxidant support in those particular patient populations. However, overall, so for patients with traumatic brain injuries, infections especially, we're definitely looking at giving more antioxidant support.
Got it. Let's talk about the type of case studies that, not case studies, I should say type of patients that can use hyperbaric oxidative therapies. What type of patients out there? Just start rattling off the type of conditions that you actually see.
Sure, I see a lot. As I mentioned, there are patients coming in with cancer, and we're not treating cancer. We're a synergistic treatment. Cancer synergy, right? But there's a number of others, including the best way to first describe it is those that are covered by insurance, the FDA-approved indications. And those most commonly would be diabetic foot ulcers, radiation injury, typically from cancer treatment, and chronic bone infections, osteomyelitis, and sudden hearing loss. On the investigational side, those are not covered by insurance, but there's significant data to support their use. And in the U.S., we have 14 indications that are covered by insurance. In countries around the world, it's about 60, not uncommon, as you'd imagine. The other world outside of the U.S. is a little bit more forward thinking, unfortunately.
Right.
But we have things like traumatic brain injury, patients post-stroke, patients with reflex sympathetic dystrophy, patients with inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, patients with multiple sclerosis, patients with chronic infections like Lyme or chronic staph infections, patients that have mild cognitive impairment, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and also the health optimization crowd, which is sort of optimizing the performance of people that are already quote-unquote doing well but want to do better. And that's it's a very large and growing segment of our population, actually.
Wow. I mean, and that is a lot. But let's start with the milder cases. How many visits do they need? And how often?
Right. So the way I often break it down is that for the more acute the process, the less hyperbaric therapy is needed. For the more chronic, long-standing, or a process that's been ongoing for a longer period of time, more hyperbaric therapy is needed. So, for example, I'll see patients that have had a recent surgery or a recent injury, and as many as only maybe 5 hyperbaric treatments might be necessary. But for somebody that's had a longstanding infection, a longstanding injury, sometimes it takes as many as 40 treatments, and those treatments are usually done on a cumulative successive basis. And what I mean by that is done Monday through Friday with the weekends off for anywhere between 20 and 40 sessions. And the reason for that is that the way hyperbaric therapy is working is in 2 specific ways, big picture. The first is in the acute reversing of hypoxia. So if there is a low oxygen state, hyperbaric therapy will reverse that low state, potentially revitalizing cells that may be at risk of dying in low oxygen environments. And this is in patients, for example, with acute heart attacks or strokes or injuries, or even a surgery for that matter, where you have tissue that's at risk for just not functioning well because it's lost its vascular supply for a short period of time. Now, also in the acute stage, it also decreases swelling, hyperbaric therapy. So that could be extremely helpful. We've seen this actually in patients with traumatic brain injuries, where one of the major effects that hyperbaric therapy has is by decreasing swelling in the brain, preventing people from dying as a result of that. So that's the acute side. On the chronic side, or the longstanding conditions, hyperbaric therapy works at the DNA level to actually change how proteins are transcribed. And as a result of that, it actually promotes the growth of new blood vessels and decreasing inflammation, and also prevents cells from undergoing programmed cell death or apoptosis. So the way I like to think about that is that hyperbaric therapy is kind of like a 1-2 punch. In the acute setting, it reverses low oxygen states, and the more longstanding hyperbaric protocols is actually recreating the scaffolding around that injured site to make sure that longstanding improvements are just that, are longstanding. And the other thing hyperbaric therapy does in the long run is actually release more stem cells from the bone marrow to help repopulate areas in the connective tissue, in the stromal matrix, with these stem cells to revitalize that tissue and maintain its vitality over time.
So when you're saying 5 days a week, and you're saying every day having it done, if you've got a chronic condition.
Right. So exactly. So in the beginning, again, a little bit depends on what the indication is. But for the most part, yes, we want to get it about 5 days a week. And that's really how you affect change. You won't affect change as dramatically if you do less than that. Some studies that have been done looked at one particular process called angiogenesis or revascularization. Revascularization or new blood vessel formation takes about 20 treatments to get to the maximal angiogenesis. And those treatments are done Monday through Friday with the weekends off. Because again, we're actually changing how the DNA transcribes protein. And that just takes time. It takes time.
So are these treatments expensive? I know that our listeners are probably going to ask that question, would want to know. Because sure. If insurance doesn't cover, I'm sure it does.
So it depends, right? So like you said, there are the investigational indications. And those are not typically covered by insurance unless you have an injury from like a car accident or you have workers' comp, for example. I've had some success getting a number or a variety of conditions treated as a result of injuries at work. If it's not in that capacity, the typical treatment cost on the West Coast in the major cities is somewhere between $200 to $300 a session. That is true. But I always have to follow that up by saying, look, this is a quality of life thing for most of us. So if we have to spend the money in the short term for long-term benefits, it depends on the condition. And I also understand that there's a lot of pressures with finances. And I know that at the facilities that I work at up in the Bay Area and the ones in New York especially, we do everything that we can to make it as affordable as possible for people to get therapy. And then there are also what are called the soft-sided chambers, which are a different type of chamber that you can get at your house that are a little bit more affordable, potentially. But their indications are a little bit more narrow in the respect that they don't go to as deep of pressure, and they're more focused on brain health and neurocognitive health, as far as I'm concerned. So you can rent those chambers for your home. You can potentially even buy one of those chambers on your own. But I still recommend you talk to a hyperbaric physician, or at least somebody knows about hyperbaric therapy, before going into one and having supervision. But there are some potential affordability factors that may be mitigated if you go that route. But yes, it's something that we consider, and it's an investment in your health, and it's definitely a financial investment, and as well as a time investment. So there are those two pieces that do come into play. Absolutely.
I've recommended hyperbaric oxygen therapy for my patients, particularly my Lyme cases, and even autism cases. And with the autism case, you know, when they're a little kid, the mother or father actually goes in with the child into the chamber, and they play games, and you know, the results have been miraculous. Some it doesn't work as well, but I would say that overall they've had great results. You know, good to great results. So of them have had anywhere from 12 to 20, and others had 40 to 60 treatments.
Right.
And it really, to me, depends.
Very interesting, yeah.
What's that?
I was going to say, with patients with autistic spectrum, I've had some really dramatic improvements in patients, too. But the most important piece of the whole thing, Suzanne, is actually what you're doing, of course. And understanding that it's a really, and this is my philosophy, and I'm an integrative doc at heart. So when somebody comes in and asks me if they can get hyperbaric therapy, it's usually about a 7 or 8 pronged approach, in the sense that, yes, hyperbaric therapy may help you, but you have to consider labs and genetics and other practitioners that may help you, and other therapies along the line, other practitioners that may really optimize that. And diet is a huge portion of it, too, as you know. So if you're doing all of that, what I found is you can potentially decrease the length of time needed to see those phenomenal changes that you're mentioning.
Right. Now, at my age, now at 55 this year, Scott, I want to maintain my brain and my health, but really in consistently reversing my biological age. So
sure.
Can hyperbaric help that?
I absolutely think it can. And there's a couple reasons why. One of the main findings that somebody will see on an MRI scan, and the doctor probably won't tell you this part, but this is in almost every scan that I see, is something called microvascular ischemic changes. And what that means is that small blood vessels in your brain, as we age, about over 50 for most individuals, start not working anymore and start actually dying off. And this is what we call senile dementia that happens over time, that you kind of lose your memory, like you kind of forget where things are, and you don't have Alzheimer's disease, but you're just not as sharp as you used to be. And what we know is that hyperbaric therapy can regenerate those blood vessels. It can make them new again, and it also can revitalize the cells around those areas. Hyperbaric therapy has this phenomenal ability to enhance mitochondrial function. And as I think you know, Suzanne, mitochondrial degeneration dysfunction is probably one of the hallmarks of aging. So if we can improve mitochondrial function, I think that we're showing dramatic potential for reversing aging. I like that. I've had some Israelis that I know that are in this capacity looking at hyperbaric therapy for reverse aging, which I like a lot better than anti-aging. And that's how I think about it, reversing some of these aging processes. Now, of course, if you can get to anti-aging before you need to reverse it, I guess that's good too. but what hyperbaric therapy is doing also profoundly is decreasing inflammation. And I think we also know that inflammation over time is a huge challenge and really does start manifesting in conditions. And if we can decrease inflammation overall, I think that's also one of the main effects that we're seeing in a hyperbaric environment, is that you decrease inflammation, the body just works at better capacity, and the brain works better, and the body works better, and we can treat some of these low-grade infections as well, potentially. A lot of these sort of lower-grade infections, especially the anaerobic, or the infections that don't do well in high-oxygen environments. And this is actually what's most prominent in something called small intestine bacterial overgrowth, or SIBO. I've had a lot of patients have significant benefits in a hyperbaric environment because of these sort of chronic overgrowth of bacteria in the small intestine. So that's a small example, but I definitely see hyperbaric therapy as a reverse aging strategy, in the setting, of course, other strategies as well, but definitely being a big part of what I'm now calling health optimization.
Health optimization. That's what I definitely, I'm constantly striving for that. I'm telling, teaching all my patients the same thing, and I'm going to have to go and find myself. I know the local doctor here that has an hyperbaric. I'm going to have to go and do that myself. And, you know, just one quick question. Does hyperbaric help with your pH?
So your pH, it's an interesting question. My sense of it, that oxygen itself is not going to change the pH of your blood. However, you know, breathing can. So I have had patients looking at combining breathing techniques with hyperbaric therapy. And I think that's very interesting to me, because I think when you do have a more basic pH, you do utilize oxygen better overall. And so I have been encouraging some of my patients, and I've been experimenting this with this myself, the combination of a more alkaline environment with hyperbaric therapy to increase oxygen utilization.
Well, that sounds, you know, good to me. Wow,
I know.
Dr. Scott, you're so awesome. Great information. Really love it. I think integrativehbot.com is your website, correct?
That's right. That's right.
integrativehbot.com. This is Dr. Scott Scherr, Sherrr, his website, and so much information. I can't wait to have you here again soon. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Now, until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies right here on Radio MD. Stay well.